Okay, today's daf is Nida daf Nun Vav. We're holding on daf Nun Hey Amud Beis. We're all the way up like seven lines before the lines get wide on daf Nun Hey Amud Beis. Today's shir is sponsored by Henry Orlinsky, Lizechon Nishmas, Marcel Weber, Mordechai Ben Yoshua, Menachem Mendel, Alav Shalom, who's Nifter on Shabbos Tes Kislev. We thank Henry very much for the sponsorship, and the neshama of Marcel Weber should have an aliyah. And it's also sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children, and we thank him as well very much for the continued sponsorship. So again, we're holding back at the before the lines get wide at Daf Nun Hey Amud Beis. The first thing we're going to discuss is why it is that Mei Ha'af is Mitame. Is it an inherent tumah or an assumption that it's going to mix with saliva? And we're talking about Mei Ha'af of Zav, obviously, and therefore it's going to be Mitame. The Gemara is then going to bring a source for the tumah of the various mashkin of a zav, how we know that each of the mashkin of a zav are in fact mitameh, and then on the top of Amud Aleph we're going to discuss the tumah status of a dama yotzi min ha'ama. If let's say if he urinates blood or blood comes out in that way, whether it's mitameh or not, or is and then the Gemara is going to get into when a sheretz is mitameh, meaning we mentioned that a sheretz is mitameh only lach and not yavesh. So the Gemara is going to discuss the exception to that rule that there is a situation where a sheretz is metameh, even yavesh. And then the Gemara is going to bring a source for everything that's not tameh yavesh. How we know we had a long list of items in the Mishnah that are only metameh lach and not metameh yavesh. So how do we know that all those things are only metameh lach? We're going to bring sources for each of them. And then we're going to give details on how to bring back moisture, because the Mishnah also gave a trick. And if you have something that's dry, that it may not have a din of being dry if the moisture can be returned to it. So we're going to give some details on how to return the moisture to the item, how to do that test if moisture can be returned to the item. The Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to discuss Tumah l'mafreya. Let's say you find a sheretz or you find a stain, a kesem, a blood stain. So how far back do you assume that the tumah has already been there? And the Gemara is going to discuss that the Mishnah tells us that if you sweep a mavoi out, then you know that at that prior to that point the tumah wasn't there. Or if you cleaned a beged, you know that prior to that point the stain wasn't there. So the Gemara is going to discuss what is it about sweeping and cleaning? Is it an assumption that when you sweep and when you clean, you're also checking, or is it that the sweeping and the cleaning itself would have gotten rid of any tumah? And we're going to have nafkaminas and rayas in terms of which way we paskin on that. Then the Mishnah in the middle of Amud Beis is going to talk about when can we assume that a kesem is from a non-Jew, because a non-Jew's blood is not metameh. So when can you make that assumption that a kesem is from a non-Jew? And then the Mishnah at the bottom of Amud Beis is going to talk about which places would cause us to assume that kesemim are meaning where would you find ksamim that you would assume that those ksamim might be tameh, and where would you find ksamim where you would say, nah, that's probably Torah, that's probably from a non-Jew. So let's begin seven lines from the beginning of the wide lines on daf nun hey amud beis. Umei ha'af, the Mishnah had mentioned that mei ha'af of azav is tameh. So says Gemara, my mei ha'af, what does mei ha'af mean? So we know what mei ha'af means. It means, what's the concern with mei ha'af, right? It means mucus, but what's the concern with Me'a'af? Why is it Metame? So Amar Rav b'negrar derech hapel, if yishiyaf shalom Me'a'af below tzichsuchei arok. Rav says that the mucus itself is not Metame. We're talking about when you take out the Me'a'af, when you get it out of your body through the mouth, if you're able to bring it out through the mouth, so then it's always going to mix with some saliva, and it's the saliva that's really Metame. Rav Yochanan Amar afilu b'negrar derech hachotem. Now, even if you blow your nose, that itself is Metame. Rabbi Yochanan holds that Me'a'af is its own Mayan of Azav, and therefore the Torah is telling us that that itself will be Tameh. So now says Gemara, but according to Rav, that it's only Tameh because when you bring it out through your mouth, it will mix with saliva, so only when you actually do that is it Tameh. V'Rav Nachshunami Dimaseno. If that alone qualifies it for being listed in the Mishnah as one of the Mashkim that are Metameh, so anything that you could bring out through your mouth should qualify as a mashke that's Metameh. So by that same logic, tears should be listed as a mashke that's Metameh. Granted, tears themselves are not Metameh, but we're about to prove that according to Rav, tears can also be brought out through the mouth. So if they can be brought out through the mouth, they should have been mentioned along with Me'ahav, with Me'ahav. To Amar Rav, Haiman Dabai, the list of Me'ene, Likhol Me'ahav Chavim, because Rav taught that if a person ever would like to go blind, so a good Eitzah is let an Ovid Chavim apply medication to your eyes, because he's going to blind you when you do that. V'levi Amar Haiman Dabai, the Lemos, if a person is interested in dying, Likhol Me'ahav Chavim, let the Ovid Chavim apply the medication to his eyes, because he's going to insert poison into it and he's going to kill you. V'am Rav Chia Bar Guria, my time at the Rav, did Rav think that the Ovid Chavim would not insert poison? Why is Rav not concerned that you're going to die if you have the Ovid Chavim apply the eye ointment? So it says, because Rav holds, even if the Ovid Chavim does put poison into the eye ointment, you'll be able to extract it derech hapeh. And when you extract it derech hapeh, you'll get rid of the poison. But bottom line is, you see that Rav holds that that which goes in the eye, you can get out through your mouth. So therefore, dimas eno should have the same status as me'af, according to Rav. Anything that could come out through the mouth, we should be concerned that it's mixing with roke, and therefore is metame, and deserves a mention in our Mishnah. So says Gemara, no. V'Rav, nihi dezira nafik, dimas agufa lo nafik. Rav assumes that poison that's put into the eye ointment can be brought out derech the peh. But the actual dimas eino itself, your actual tears, you're not going to be able to get out through your mouth. And that's why me'ahav is mentioned in the Mishnah, but not tears. Because me'ahav you can bring out through the mouth and it will mix with roke. But tears you cannot bring out through the mouth, and therefore will never mix with roke. And that's why it's not mentioned in the Mishnah. Tashima, Tisha Mashkin Azavhein. There are 9 Mashkin of Azav that have 3 different levels of tumah status. Hazeya, Valechasrucha, Varei, Tahar and Miklum. Sweat and pus and excrement, that's totally tahar. There's no tumah when a zav sweats. The sweat is not tame. The lechasrucha is not tame. The rei is not tame. Second level, dimas eno, dama gafaso, v'chalav isha. His tears, his dam from a wound, or the milk of a woman, mitame tumas mashkin berevius. That's tame tumas mashkin berevius. That it's able to be mitame ochlin a mashkin like any other mashkin that's tame, and the shear of mashkin for tuma is always a revius. Aval, Zovo, Roko, Meme Raglov, Mitamatum Chamura. But Zov, the Ziva that comes out of him, his saliva and his Meiroglayim are Mitamitum Chamura, they're Mitame Adam and Begadim, they're Mayanos, they are in Avhatuma. The Ilume Af Lokatani. But notice what's missing from that list. We've listed 9 different Mashkin Hazav, and Mea Af doesn't make the list. So Bishlam, the Rav Lokatani, the Psikale, the Missis, and Dossi, the Archapev, and Dossi, the Archachotem. I understand why, according to Rav, it's not going to make the list, because there's nothing about Me'ahav itself, and meaning even though Tahar items make the list as well, but Me'ahav doesn't even belong on the Tahar list, because Me'ahav is sometimes yes, sometimes no. It's Tahar when you take it out Derech Chotem, and it's Tameh when you take it out Derech HaPeh. So we're only putting on the list things that are absolute, things that are clear, that we can have a clear statement. This is Tahar, this is Tameh Tumas Mashkin, this is Tameh Tumas Chamura, but Me'ahav you can't put on the list. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Me'ahav is one of the Mayanos, so then we should have mentioned it. So the Tamech, Kichovinio Mikatani, says, by that same logic, it doesn't say Kichovinio either, it doesn't talk about phlegm. So Elatanya, Rok, Vikaldasimi Ribuya, Hakanami, Tana Rok, Vikaldasimi Ribuya. So it's just that we mention Rok, and we mention anything that is derived from the same Pasuk of Rok. So Me'ahav is also derived from the same Pasuk of Rok, and therefore it's included in when we said roke in the brisa, so it's not necessary to list it separately. Fine. Dimas, and how do we know that each of these items are in fact metame? So the Gemara goes through a drasha for each one. Dimas eino duksiv vatashkemo v'dimos shlish. So you see that's called vatashkemo, meaning implies that it's a mashke. Dam magafaso duksiv v'dam chalalim yishta. And dam magafaso, I know, is also called a mashke because it says dam chalalim yishta. Yishta implies that it's a mashke. Mali katle kule, mali katle palge. And once we're going to say dama gafaso, so the Once when we say dam chalalim is tameh, so dam agafaso is tameh as well. Dam chalalim means the blood that comes out when you murder a person. Dam agafaso is when you injure a person. But that's what we call katlai palge, that if you partially kill a person, that's that the injuring is partially killing a person. And therefore, if dam chalalim is considered to be tameh, then dam agefa is also considered to be tameh. It's just a lesser level of dam chalalim. Chalavi isha d'chsiv v'tiftach is noda chalav v'tashkehu. You see that chalavi isha. We also use the term mashke. Mei raglav minolan. How do I know that mei raglayim are metame? The mei raglayim of a zav is metame. D'tanya zovo tame vizos. L'rabos mei raglav l'tuma. That we have a smichus of the word vizos. Vizos tia tumaso, next to the words, right near the words, me me raglav. So we darshan it back on the words, me me raglav. That vizos, that there's something else that's like zov, and that is me raglayim. Meaning, not on me raglayim, the pasuk doesn't say me raglayim, meaning it says zovo tame, that yeah, the zov is tame, and then vizos is marbis, something that's like zov, that's also tame. What else is like zov, that's also tame? That's Meme Raglav. Valodinus, so says Marble, wait, why do I need a pasuk? Isn't it a Kalvachomer? Umar Rok Habami Makom Tahara Tame. If Rok, which comes from the mouth, it comes from a Makom Tara, is Tame, Meme Raglav Habami Makom Tame. So Meme Raglayim that come from a Makom Tame, meaning from the very place where the Zov comes out of. So that's the source of the Tumah. Ain't Odinshu Tame, and should all the more so be Tame. So I shouldn't need a pasuk to tell me that meraglayim of a zav is tameh. It should be obvious based on the kal v'chomer. So says Gemara, no, the kal v'chomer is not such a great kal v'chomer. Dama yotzei mipi ha'amu yochiach, because not everything that comes out from makom tameh is in fact tameh. Dam that comes out from the ama is shabam makom tameh, comes from makom tameh, but v'tahor, but it is tahor. So afatal to tamal zesh, afbi shabam makom tameh, yetar. So maybe meraglayim of a zav will be the same thing, that even though it comes from a makom Tame, it will be tar. That's why I need the pasuk. Tamlomar zovot tame vizos l'rabos meiraglav l'tuma. That's why I need the drasha zovot tame, and then vizos adds something that's like zov. And what's that? That's meiraglayim. So now the Gemara brings a source for the din that the Brisa said that dam that's yotzei mipia ama is tar. I mean, the reason we blew up the kal v'chomer is we said not a good kal v'chomer, because by that same logic, dam yotzei mipia ama would be tame, and we know that's tar. How do we know that's tar? Dama yotzim piyama minolan. You made an assumption that dama yotzim piyama is tar. Where does it say that? Minolan to tar. Titania, because the Brisa tells us, yachl ye dama yotzim mipiv umipiyama tamein. You might think that dam that comes from his mouth or from the piyama of a zav is tamei, because the dama yotzim mipiv should be like saliva, and the dam that's yotzim piyama should be like zov. So tamalomer, that's why the pasuk says, zovo tamehu, that we darshin hu tame, vein dam yotzim pivum piya ama tame el tahar. That the zav is tame, but the dam that comes out from his mouth or from the piya ama is tahar. So from zovo tame vizos, we learn that mei raglayim of a zav is tame. From who we learn that dam that comes out mipia ama is tame. So there are three things that can come out mipia ama. The zov, and that's obviously what it says in the Torah, is tame. Mei raglayim and blood. Now, meraglayim we said is tameh, blood we said is tar, because I have one drasha that tells me tameh, and one drasha that tells me tar. So I have to put something in each category. But maybe I should have reversed it. Maybe I should have used the drasha that tells me that something is tahar from who, and said that meraglayim is tahar. And maybe I should have used the drasha that tells me that something is tameh, and said zovo tameh vizos, and said that dam is tameh. How did I know that the meraglayim is tameh and the dam is tahar? Because we're going to be marbe for tuma, that which is similar to saliva. We know that saliva of a zav is tame, so mashkim that are similar to saliva are also more logical to be metame. Ma rok shemis agel, avkol shemis viyotze, avkol shemis agel viyotze. That the nature of rok is that it gathers in the body first and then it's expelled from the body. So too, the types of mashka that are going to be tame are that which gathers in an area inside inside the body and is then expelled from the body. Yotzadam shein misagel v'yotzei. That is a fitting description of meraglayim, but not at all a fitting description of dam. That the meraglayim gathers and in the bladder and is then released. But the dam that comes out, mipia ama, just comes out. It just drips out when it's time for it to come out. There is no gathering and then release of the dam. Savarei chalav shebiyisha shemisagel v'yotzei. But what about milk of a woman that also gathers and is then released? And Rav Mar chalav shebiyisha matami tumusmashkin tumusmashkin avalot tumachamura. Well, chalav isha should be very similar to rope also. How come chalav isha only has that lower level of tuma? If a woman is a zava, her milk is only tami tumas mashkin, but to be matami ochlin mashkin, but it is not tame tuma chamura. It's not an avat tuma. It should be just like roke. It's misagel the yotze. Elo amar biyochem mishum rishum benichai dum yedarok ma roke misagel the yotze v'chozev nivla. Two qualities that roke has. Number one, that it's misagel the yotze, that it gathers before it's expelled from the body, and second, that if you don't expel it, it gets absorbed back into the body. So avkol shem misagel the yotze v'chozev nivla. So too, anything that is misagel the yotze and could be chozev nivla back into the body, that's going to be considered to be on the highest level of tumah. And the Gemara assumes meraglayim fits that category, because sometimes a person feels like they have to go to the bathroom, they hold it in, and they're good for a little while. So that means that it's as if that it's that it's chosev nivla. So yotza dam sheinu misagel v'yotze, but dam is not going to be tame because it doesn't have the first quality. It's not misagel v'yotze, and yotza chalav shebiyisha, and woman's milk is not in that category. Shalt pisha misagel v'yotze ainu chosev nivla. It doesn't meet the second requirement that it's not chosev nivla back into the body. She will just become more and more uncomfortable, and more it will be more and more painful. It will never be chosev nivla. She's never going to experience relief until she expels the milk from her body. So says the Gemara, okay, dam that comes from pia amma, we said, is not like roke, but still, says the Gemara, v'nelef mizovo, it should still be tamei, because we should learn it from zov. Ma zovo, she'ein misagel v'yotze tamei, afkol, meaning zov is not misagel v'yotze, zov just flows out of the body. So shouldn't dam be considered like zov, in the sense that it should be mitamei, the person when it comes out, mipia amma? Amarava mizovo lekalemelef. You cannot learn from zovo shekein gorim tumalacherim, because zov is unique in that it's mitame the guy, the zov who the zov comes out of. So therefore, it's more chamur than and it's more it's more tame, even though it's not misagel the yotzei like roke. So you can't learn other mayanos from zov, meaning zov is the very source of the tuma. When we're talking about should the dam that yotze mipia ama, should the meraglayim, should that be tame? It doesn't mean that that's ever going to be the source of the tuma. Person has dam come out, person has meraglayim come out. That doesn't make him a zov. That becomes a mayan of a zov. That if he's already a zov, then it's tame. So you can't, zov is not the proper item to learn from, because zov is the very source of the tuma. You want to compare mayanos to something, take a mayan of a zav and compare it to that. So roke is the proper comparison, and that's the comparison we in fact made. Then vasharetz. The Mishnah said that a sharetz is only mitame when it's moist, but it's not mitame when it's yavesh. So it says the Gemara, there's an exception to that rule. Amrei shlakish sharetz yavesh v'shildo kayemes tame. If the body is still intact, the tsura of the sharetz is still intact, even though it's totally dry, it's tame. So ask the Gemara, v'anan tzan mitame lachem dey mitame yaveshin. But our Mishnah says that a sharetz is not mitame yavesh. How could you say that if it's shildo kayemes, it is? So Amrei b'zeir lo kasha, habakulan, habimuktsasen. No, when our Mishnah says that it's not mitame yavesh, it means if it's not fully intact. But a sheretz that's fully intact is mitame yavesh. How do I know this? Titania? Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Bisna, Amar Rav Shimon ben Yochai, bohem, the pasuk by Shratzim says, anyone who touches bohem b'mosam yitma, anyone who touches the Shratzim while they are dead will become tame. So yachal b'kulan, bohem, sounds like you have to touch all of it. So tamal omar, mayhem. That's why there's another pasuk that says, v'kal asher yipal alav mayhem b'mosam yitma. Mayhem sounds like part of a sheretz is enough to be metame a person. Well, I mayhem yachal b'muksasan, tamal omar bahem. Well, mayhem would imply part of it. That's why he says bahem, that only the entire sheretz is metame. So haketzad, you have a stiru between two psukim. Bahem implies that only the entire sheretz is metame. Mayhem implies that even part of a sheretz is metame. How do you reconcile it? kan belach, kan biyavish, that if the sheretz is moist, even part of the sheretz is metame. If it's dry, then you need shildo kayemes. Then you need the entire sheretz to still be intact in order to be metame. Amar Rava, hani zvuni de mechuza, these dried out shratzim of mechuza, ki shildim kayemes, temein, when they're intact, they're tame, even though they're dried out. Vamar ishlaka sheretz shenisra fe shildo kayemes, tame. If a sheretz is burnt, so it's totally dried out, but it's still intact, it's tame. Maysvesa asked the Gemara, wait a second, Nimtza Sheretz, the Mishnah says in Masech Taros, Nimtza Sheretz Saruf al Gabe Azesim. If you find a burnt Sheretz on top of olives, V'chein Matlas Amuhuma, or you have a worn out and rotted out beged that's on top of the olives, Tahorin, the olives are Tahor, because the Sheretz that's already burnt is not Mitame, and the beged that's worn out is not Mitame. So you don't have to be choshesh that the Sheretz or the beged came in contact with the olives before they dried out or before they lost their tumah status. Shekol tumos kshas mitziyasan, because you can assume that it came in contact with the olives as you found it. So if you found it as a dried out sheretz and it's now touching the olives, you could assume when it came into contact with the olives, it was already a dried out sheretz. But bottom line, what do you see from there? That a dried out sheretz is tar, because we're saying you could assume it's as you found it, and as you found it, it's tar. Some Reb Zera lo kasha habekulan habemiktasan. No, it means that if it's a partial sheretz that's in contact with the olives and it's dried out, it's tar. But if it's an entire sheretz, then in a chinami, it's going to be tamei. Zetanya Amar Reb Yitzchak Reb Yisrael Shmuel Shmuel Nechay bahem yachol bekulan tamal lomer mehem I mehem yachol miktasan tamal lomer bahem haketzer kam sarav kam shenu sarav. So we said that when it's when is a sheretz mitam, even if it's just part of a sheretz, that's if it's moist. But when is a sheretz only metame if it's an entire sheretz? That's when it's dry. So even though our Mishnah said that a sheretz is metame lach, not metame yavish, that means part of a sheretz is metame lach, not metame yavish. But if you have an entirety of a sheretz, then it's metame yavish as well. Then the Mishnah said metame lach, and we had a whole list of items that are only metame lach and not yavish. Zov and nia and roke and sheretz and nevela and shechvazera, all of these things. So says, well, let's take them one by one. How do I know that these items are only metame lach and not metame yavish? Zov d'chsiv ror b'sarov. So only a zov that's like ror. That's ror is saliva. Saliva is moist. So only zov that's moist is metame. Kicho v'niyo v'roko of a zov are only metame when they're moist. D'chsiv v'chi yorok hazov. And that pasuk teaches us about kicho v'niyo and roko. So it's ke'ein roke. It's got to be similar to saliva. Sheretz bimosam amrachmana ke'ein misa. Sheretz, the pasuk says that a sheretz is metame when it's dead. But it sounds like it's got to be in the same condition that it would be in at the moment that it dies. At the moment that it dies, it's still moist. It's not yet dry. Shechvazera haru'uya lazriya. Shechvazera implies that it's still roi lazriya. Shechvazera is only roi lazriya. It's only able to impregnate when it is moist. Nevela d'chsiv v'chi yamus. It says v'chi yamus. So again, sounds like ke'ein misa, the condition that it's in at the moment that it dies. And at the moment that it dies, the nevela is moist. Then the Mishnah went on to say that if you're able to take this dry item and soak it, and its moisture will return, it's not yet dry enough to be tahor. That it's only tahor if it's so dry that the moisture can never return. So how do you do the soaking? So we said beposhrin me'es la'es, in warm water for 24 hours. So Gemara is not clear on exactly what that means. By Rabbi Yirmiyah, it's chilas of a sofa beposhrin. Do you have to maintain the temperature of the water for 24 hours, and only when you soaked it in water that remained warm for 24 hours did you do the test properly? Odilma tchilas af pishein sofo. Or maybe it suffices to put it in warm water and leave it. Obviously, 24 hours later, it's not going to be warm anymore. The water is going to then be room temperature, but it started as warm water. Maybe that's enough of a test to see if the moisture returns. So Tashema, detanya kami yishriyosim beposhrin, Yehuda ben Nakusa omer me'is le'is, tchilaso afal pishein sofo. Yehuda ben Nakusa says, it only needs to begin warm. It doesn't need to remain warm for 24 hours. Rishon Gamliel, Amr Tzricha Shiyu Poshrin Meisla Eis. It's Machlokas. Shem Umil says it has to remain warm for 24 hours in order for this test to be effective, meaning it's possible that the moisture won't return if you put it in warm water and then just leave it for 24 hours, but it would have returned had you maintained the temperature of the water. So that's the real way to do the test, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi Yossi Amar Basar Ames. So Rabbi Yossi had said the Basar Ames that's dry and cannot be re-moistened is going to be Tahar. So Amar Shmuel, Tahar Mi L'Tami B'Gzayis, Al M'Tami Tumas Rekev. Basar of a dead body, if it's totally dried out, maybe doesn't have a din of kezayis min ames to be metame like that, but it still has tumas rekev, that a rotted out dead body is also tame, but it's melo tarvad rekev, it's a different shear, it's not a kezayis, it's a tarva, a ladle full of rekev that's metame. Tani nam yachi, v'yosim b'sar meshi yavish, v'en yachal lishos lachsul kmo shahaya, if you have a b'sar ames that's dried out and you're not able to re-moisten it, tarmi l'tami b'kazayis, aval tami t'mas rekev, it says explicitly, it's not tami b'kazayis, like a kazayis basar, but it still will have t'mas rekev. Okay, new Mishnah now. Hasheret shenimtza b'mavui, mitami l'mafreya, ad sheyomar, bedakti samavui yazev, lo haibo sheret, so achas kibud. If you find a sheret in a mavui, you have to assume that sheret has been in the mavui, l'mafreya, as far back as you can guarantee that it hasn't. How far back can you guarantee that it hasn't? One of two things. Either that you have previously checked the mavui, you can say, 3 days ago, I was here and I checked the mavui top to bottom, this sheret wasn't here, so good. So prior to 3 days ago, you could assume the sheretz wasn't there. But for the last 3 days, you assume it was there. Or the other way is, you say, 3 days ago, I didn't check, but I swept out the mavui, and I cleaned it out. So the sheretz must have come afterwards. So either one of those is good enough. V'chein kesem shenimtza b'chalik. Similarly, if you find a blood stain on a woman's clothing, so metame l'mafreya, you have to assume that it's metame all the taros that the woman dealt with, l'mafreya, ad sheyomer, b'dakti yisachalik hazeh, v'lo hayibo kesem, o achas hakibus. Until you can go back in time and say that I checked this beged at some point, and there was no stain, or I laundered the beged. So as to the last time it was washed, prior to the last time it was washed, you assume it was tahar. So says Gemara, the sheretz is metame bein lach bein yavesh. The sheretz and the kesem are metame l'mafreya, whether they are currently moist or whether they are currently dry. Rabbi Shimon Omer, hayavesh metame l'mafreya. No, over here, this is one case where being dry will mean a greater level of tumma. If it's dry, then you're going to be metame l'mafreya, because dry means that it's old, that it's been there for a while. But halach, eno metame elad shoshe yachol lios lach. But if it's still moist, then it's not going to be metame l'mafreya too far back, because we have to look at what a reasonable amount of time would be for something to dry up. And beyond that reasonable amount of time, you cannot assume that this tumma was here, because it's lach right now. So it's a kula that it's moist. So, frek the Gemara, we said that you go back, tumma l'mafreya, until the last time you swept out the mavoi, or until the last time you laundered the clothing. So sweeping out the mavoi, what's the value in that? Ibailu, achas kibud cheskaso baduk, odum cheskaso mischabed. Is it that the last time you swept it out, we assume that you were also checking? Or do we assume, no, you weren't checking, but the sweeping itself would have gotten rid of the sheretz? Umay nafkamina, what's the nafkamina, which one it is? Damar kabed v'labadik. What if the person tells you, I swept it out, but I wasn't looking, I wasn't checking? Say, I amrit cheskaso baduk, halobadak. If you can assume the value of sweeping is that we're assuming you're checking also, but the guy says, I didn't check, and therefore you'd have to be metame even further back. But I amrit cheskaso mischabed, hamischabed. But if you can assume that the value of sweeping it out is that you assume that it would pick up any shratzim when you sweep it out, so then even if he wasn't looking, it would be good enough to say that it was swept out. Inami dishtakach pagumo. Or another nafkamina would be, what if you find the sheretz in a crevice, in a hole in the ground, in the mavoi? So yamar cheskaso baduk, manda baduk pagumanami baduk. If the chazaka is that you're actually going to check, so then you would check in the guma as well. But yamar cheskaso mischabed, guma la mischabda. But if the whole point is just that it would have gotten swept out, well, if it's stuck in a crevice somewhere, it would not have gotten swept out with a normal cleaning, and therefore you're going to have to assume the tumah Lemafreya even further. And the same suffix we have by a kesem, by a stain found on a beged. Umina kesem at shas kibus. We said you assume the v'chena kesem rather at shas kibus. You assume that a kesem is tamei all the way back to the last time you laundered it. Well, what does shas kibus do? Cheskaso baduk odom cheskaso meschabes. Does shas kibus mean that at that time you could assume that you have checked the garment also? Or do we assume, no, you weren't checking it, but it would have cleaned out the kesem? L'may nafkamina, da'amar kibes v'lo badak. What if the person says, I laundered everything, but I just threw it in the washing machine, I didn't look at anything. Say, i'amar baduk halo badak. If you're going to say, i'amar cheskas baduk halo badak. If you're going to say that the whole point is that it's cheskas baduk, but it wasn't, the guy says, I didn't check it. The woman says, I didn't check it. I'amar cheskas mischabes, ha'mischabes. But if the point is that laundering itself would have cleaned off the stain, so you laundered it. Inami dishtakach besitra, or maybe it's on the hem of a beged or on some corner of a beged where there are pleats or something like that. We are cheskas abadik, but badak besitra nami badak. If the issue is cheskas abadik, you would have checked the pleats also. But we are cheskas mischabes. But if the whole point is that the chazaka is that it was mischabes besitra lo mischabes. Well, the laundry doesn't always get out stains that are in folds in the beged or something like that. So the cheskas mischabes wouldn't work. So it's a suffix both by the sheretz in the mavoi and by the kesem. What is it about the sweeping or the cleaning of the garment that makes us assume that the tumah was not there prior to that? Mai. So the Gemara says, what is the din? Says Gemara, Tashma will bring a raya. Titania amra mer minima amra sharet shenimsa b'mavoi metamin l'mafreya ad shiomer badaktis mavoi zev lo hebo sharet so ad shas kibud. Why is it that it works, that it's metamin l'mafreya only back until the point where you swept it out? Normally you have a raya, it's like a deal, it's explicit. It says directly that the value of kibud is that while you're doing the kibud, you're also checking. And if you didn't do a check while you were sweeping it out, well then you lost out l'mafreya. It's all it's going to be metame further back l'mafreya. Why is it that a stain found on a beged is metame l'mafreya until you can say that you checked it? Oh, achas hakibus, or until you can say you laundered it? What is it about laundering? Is laundering because we assume you're checking it? Or is it because we assume the laundry would get rid of the stain? We assume that you are checking at the time that you launder. And if they didn't check at the time that they laundered, then laundering does nothing. Then it's still going to be tameh further back from Afreya. Rabbi Acha says, that if she did not check at the time that she did the laundry, there's still another way to tell whether this stain was there before the last time you did laundry. And that is, do the laundry again and see what happens to the stain. If it goes away from washing it, so then you know that that stain must have been here from after the last wash, because you see that it's the kind of stain that's washed away. So obviously it got here later. But if it stays in the beged, even after you wash it again, then biyadua shalifnei kibus. Then you have to assume that it was from before the kibus, and you have to be metame back further l'mafreya. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, there's another way to check whether the by just looking at the kesem, how old the kesem is. Eino doma kesem shalachra kibus, kesem shalifnei kibus. Shezem maktiv, shezem maglid. A stain after a beged has been washed is further embedded into the beged, whereas a stain before the beged has been washed that came onto the beged and has never been washed would be more on the surface of the beged. So if it's a kind of stain that you could sort of scrape off the surface of the beged, then you know that it's a more recent stain. But if it's a stain that's totally embedded into the fabric, then you know that it probably went through a wash. Shmamina cheskas abaduk. But from all of this, what you do see is that cheskas abaduk shmamina, meaning that the value of kibus and the value of being mechabed the mavoi, of sweeping out the mavoi, is that we're assuming that you are going to be bodek while you do that. Says Tosfos, What about when it comes to the first parak of Masechet Pesachim, when we talk about money that's found in Yerushalayim, not around the time of the Shalosh Regalim, we assume that it's Chulin money and not Meiser Sheni money, even though there's more Meiser Sheni money around Yerushalayim around the times of the Shalosh Regalim, and than there is regular money throughout the rest of the year. So the Gemara over there says, yeah, but you assume it's Chulin money because Shukei Yerushalayim are swept out all the time. Shukei Yerushalayim, so it sounds like just the sweeping is enough to assume that whatever was there is gone. The sweeping gets rid of everything, not the bedika. So it says Tosos, Lo shechaskas of mischabdim, ela b'shas kibud regilim la'ayin l'chabes im yeshama'os. The street cleaners of Yerushalayim didn't just street clean, they also looked. They also looked at what they were doing. And that's the same thing that our Gemara is saying, that it's cheskas so baduk when they swept out Yerushalayim. Inami kishabotkin ashukim shlo yesham etzem kisaora o kadashim nasheretzim hayushamos hayinim tzaos. That they certainly would look for tumma when they were sweeping out Yerushalayim. And if you're looking for tumma and you find money, you're going to take the money also. The money will get removed as well. And that's why the Shukei Yerushalayim, the sweeping of the Shukei Yerushalayim was enough. That's in Maseches Pesachim as far as sweeping out Shukei Yerushalayim. But obviously the context in the first paragraph of Maseches Pesachim is about Bedikas Chametz. And this is actually an important discussion in Halacha when it comes to Bedikas Chametz. The Rokeach writes that on the Lel Yudal Nisan, a person has to clean their house because Hakibud is Kibedika. Kibud is like bedika, like you see in our Gemara. The Mordechai says it more straight out. He says our Gemara says that cheskas and the cheskas benos Yisrael, that they're bodkos, their garments at the time that they clean them, and we're bodik the mavoi at the time that we sweep it out. So you see that when you clean up your house, we have the right to assume you're also checking for chametz. But if you just clean without checking for chametz while you are cleaning, that would certainly not be enough, right? That is the maskan of our Gemara, that kibud alone is not enough to check. And that's why the Ramah paskins in Sim Tav Lamed Gimel in Hilchas Pesach, based on the Mordechai, that everyone should clean out their homes before doing a bedika, because it will help to clean out. It will help you in doing the bedika, but then you're still going to need to do the bedika. The Mishnah Berurah writes that the minig is to be mechabed the bayis and all the rooms on the 13th day of Nisan, in order that you'll be able to do the bedika right away on Lel Yodalit, and then you do a proper bedika b'charim stakin. In all the parts of the house. In the Shut Maharish, he was asked, why is it that people don't do a proper Bedikas Chametz? Why is it that so often people just do a quick Bedikas Chametz and they're not really checking every little corner and every little area of the house? Is there any way to be matzdik that minig, any limud zuchus? So he says the limud zuchus is that they do the bedika prior to that. That by cleaning out the house, the chazaka that our Gemara says that they're also being bodik for chametz while they're cleaning, and there is cleaning that goes on in advance. That might count as a bedika. The problem with saying that, says the Shut Maharish, is that if you're going to say that that counts as a bedika, now you're going to have to say that you can't say a bracha on the bedika on the Bedikas Chametz, because he already did a bedika. He says, and that's why we have the minute of putting out the 10 pieces of bread, so that you could say a bracha. Okay, Metame Bein Lach, we said it's Metame Bein Lach Bein Yavish. Rabbi Shimon says that it's the Yavish is Metame L'Mafreya, but Lach is Eina Metame L'Mafreya, because it wouldn't still be moist if it was very old. So it's only Metame L'Mafreya as long as it could have still been moist. So Amar Lo Zul Loshon Al V'Sharet, Al V'Kesem Lach Nami Metame L'Mafreya, Eimer Yavish HaYamayin Nafal Alei. A moist Kesem is Metame very far back L'Mafreya, because moisture could have hit it and re-moistened it after it had already dried. Sheretz Nami Emer Yavish HaYamayin Nafal Alei. Why don't you say the same thing about a Sheretz? Imisa Dach Yavah Martute Yamartit. Now, a dried Sheretz that water hits would have just fallen apart. It would not re-moisten. A dried blood stain that water hits could re-moisten. Kol Ksamen Abon Mirekem Tahorin. Rav Yudah Metamei Neshem Gerim V'Tohen. All Ksamen that come from Rekem, which is a city that's mostly Goyim, are Tahor, because blood of Goyim is Tahor. Rav Yudah's Metamei, though, because they're Gerim and they make a mistake, they don't put their they don't hide their Ksamen properly. Habon Ben of the Chavim Tahorin. Any Ksamen that come from Goyim is Tahor. Mi Ben Yisrael Umi Ben Akutim. But Ksamen that come from Yisrael or Kutim that live in the town, Ramei or Metame, the Ramei is going to be Metame because it's their blood is Tame, V'cham Metar, M'neshel Nechshol, Kismayan, and L'cham say it's Tar, because you would never have found it. The Jewish people are very careful to keep their Ksamim away. So, Pasuk V'tani, Afilu Mitarmud. We said Rebbein of the Chavim, it's always Tar. It sounds like even from a place called Tarmod. Amar Yochanan Zos Ameres Mekabel Gerim Tarmod. This apparently teaches us that we can be Mekabel Gerim from Tarmod because they're real full fledged Goyim, and we don't assume that there were subjects of intermarriage. And Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is that creates Mamzerus, and therefore you can't be Mekabel Gerim from there. Say any of Rabbi Yochanan Savi Damer Tavayu Ein Mekabel Gerim Mitarmod. Didn't Rabbi Yochanan say you're not allowed to be Mekabel Gerim from Tarmod? So, and if you're going to say that when Rabbi Yochanan makes the comment about our Mishnah, Zos Omeres, he doesn't hold that way, but Rabbi Yochanan always holds like a Stam Mishnah. Says, it's a machlokas amorayim within Rabbi Yochanan, whether Rabbi Yochanan says this rule that halacha kastam Mishnah, or he doesn't hold of this rule that halacha kastam Mishnah. So if you say that he holds this rule, halacha kastam Mishnah, then you would say you could be Mekabel Gerim, Mitarmod. But if you hold that he does not hold of this rule of halacha kastam Mishnah, then you have the other account of Rabbi Yochanan that we're not Mekabel Gerim, Mitarmod. Okay, we'll have to stop there, and Beis Shalom will pick up at the two dots tomorrow.